a legendary train.
Eurostar is a world-famous brand.
That almost didn't survive the pandemic.
We lost roughly 80% of our passengers, 80% of our revenues.
So it had to reinvent itself.
We're entering the tunnel. We're inside. There you have it.
30 years.
Olivier Morel is a lawyer who holds French and British nationality. A regular Eurostar passenger since the service launched 30 years ago, he travels between France and the UK for work. For him, and many of his fellow passengers, the rail link between Paris and London has been a game changer.
Suddenly, you had this train that took you from the centre of London to the centre of Paris. That was brilliant. I mean, that really was a complete, you know, change. We've forgotten, of course, because it's now taken for granted. But it's such an amazing thing, if you think about it.
The idea of building a tunnel under the Channel has been around since the Industrial Revolution. In 1802, plans were presented to Napoleon by an engineer. But the project was quickly abandoned. England feared that it could be invaded. It wasn't until the 1970s and the enlargement of the European community that the UK finally gave the green light.
Margaret Thatcher realised that the UK, Grande Bretagne, had to have a connection with Europe without having to worry about the sea and indeed without having to fly. So this was always something which was going to be of far more benefit for the UK than it would be for France and the rest of the European Union. Margaret Thatcher realised that.
It was in Paris on November 30th, 1984, that Margaret Thatcher signed an agreement with French President François Mitterrand, paving the way for the tunnel's construction.
Nous pouvons aussi annoncer notre volonté commune de mettre en place des services de trains à grande vitesse qui fonctionneront entre Paris et Londres à compter du jour d'ouverture du tunnel.
One of the most ambitious construction projects of the century was finally underway. 10,000 people worked, and 7 tunnel boring machines were used to dig 3 tunnels, each 50 kilometres long. It took less than 10 years to build, a remarkable feat.
Madame, Monsieur, bonsoir. Le rêve de Jules César, de Napoléon et de bien d'autres est enfin exaucé. L'Angleterre n'est plus une île depuis 12h12, très exactement, depuis la poignée de main historique échangée à 100 mètres sous le niveau de la mer par 2 ouvriers du chantier.
On November 14th, 1994, Eurostar launched its high-speed rail service. It was an instant hit. Up to 10 million passengers began using the service every year, as if there had never been a border in the first place.
Quite some time ago, I went to Paris on a Friday morning. I was back at my desk just after lunch in London. And I had come back with a new client, and my colleagues were like, "Where did you go?" I was in Paris. I'm like, "Really?" And it was just kind of, you know, it was 20 years ago, so it's still relatively new, but it made life so much easier.
Lundi 23 janvier 1995, l'Eurostar stop en gare de Calais-Fréthun.
At first, it was hoped the service would help boost development in French and British regions where it stopped.
The people of the county of Kent, between London and the Channel Tunnel, were quite upset because the high-speed line tore through their beautiful countryside. But they were told, don't worry, you will have 2 stations in Kent, at Ebbsfleet and at Ashford. You could travel in winter to Bourges-Saint-Maurice, to Marseille, to Avignon, to Lyon.
Eurostar was already expanding its routes. Apart from some breakdowns, the service never suffered a major incident.
There have been three fires in the tunnel, but it's true that every time they were handled quickly, so there weren't any serious consequences, even though fires are what's feared the most in a tunnel. There was also another incident that must have left its mark on passengers, the Eurostars that broke down because of snow. Five Eurostars ended up stuck in the tunnel, and after being stranded for 13 hours, the passengers had to be evacuated.
But nothing seemed to stop Eurostar's success until June 2016 and Britain's shock vote to leave the European Union. For Eurostar, it meant the return of customs and reinforced border controls.
It's kind of strange because we're so close neighbours that it's now so different.
But worse was still to come. The COVID-19 pandemic almost delivered the mortal blow for the Eurostar.
I think Eurostar was harder hit by the COVID pandemic than any other transport provider in Europe because it had to keep running trains between London and Paris. Sometimes there were just a handful of people on them.
It's very simple. We lost 80% of our passengers and 80% of our revenues, so we reduced our service to only a few trains per day.
The situation pushed Eurostar to the brink of bankruptcy, but the company's shareholders would step in at the last minute, giving it a cash injection worth 300 million euros. It was forced to restructure, offering redundancy packages, lowering costs, and closing regional train stations.
My bugbear really is the fact that the train no longer stops in Ashford and Ebbsfleet. I used to catch it in Ebbsfleet early in the morning. It would be 25 minutes, half an hour max from home, so it would be great. Now I have to get myself all the way to London. I cannot catch the first Eurostar out if I'm from home in the morning. So on occasions, I've done the absurd thing of having to stay in a hotel near St. Pancras the night before so I could catch the early train.
Eurostar was forced to close, at least temporarily, stations at Ebbsfleet, Ashford and Calais. Brexit also forced us to step up border controls, which uses up a lot of resources. That meant we had to invest more than 10 million euros in our stations, but we also needed to have enough French border police and increase the UK border forces too.
After 2 years of crisis and lockdowns, business bounced back in spectacular fashion, leading to the next chapter in the Eurostar story, its merger with Thalys. In 2023, the train that links Paris to Brussels kept its red colours, but took on the Eurostar name.
Thalys and Eurostar already shared a common history. Over the past 30 years, they witnessed the birth of a new generation of passengers who could travel easily from city centre to city centre across Europe. Our aim can be summed up in one figure, to go from transporting 19 million passengers to 30 million.
By merging with Thalys, Eurostar took on a whole new dimension, even changing its identity. Before, it was focused on the link between London and Paris. Now, it looks further afield, to northwestern Europe, Luxembourg, Germany.
To match its new ambitions, Eurostar moved its central control room from Lille to Brussels. The Belgian capital now finds itself at the heart of Eurostar's new network.
We're arriving here in the most sacred of places, the control center of Eurostar's operations. Roughly 100 operators work around the clock, 7 days a week, 365 days per year, to supervise around 100 trains every day. That's roughly 50,000 passengers.
Amar Chabi became director of Eurostar operations at the time of the merger. He's tasked with making sure traffic across the entire network flows smoothly.
The green shows trains that are on time. Those in yellow show trains that are delayed by 30 minutes. Beyond that, they go red. The role of the operators here is to get trains back on time. If they can't, they have to avoid the delays from worsening by recombining train wagons to get them back on time at the main stations in Paris, London, Amsterdam, and Brussels.
Plutôt des gares principales, donc Paris, Londres, Bruxelles et Amsterdam.
Eurostar stands out by linking four capital cities with six different rail networks.
In order to use the different rail networks, we need so-called interoperational trains equipped to switch between the different rail networks that have different types of signaling systems. You have the English rail network, Eurotunnel, the SNCF, Infrabel in Belgium, ProRail in the Netherlands, and DB Infrago in Germany.
It's a technological and human feat that comes at a cost. Demand for rail travel also skyrocketed, and so too has Eurostar's prices. Some passengers have even had to go back to using the plane.
Eurostar have the prices so high that I think, this is crazy. I can't justify paying that much money when I can save 50 or 75% by flying.
The trains are full. Why would Eurostar lower the price? Because clearly people are still paying. So.
And it won't change anytime soon. The service has attracted passengers from across the world who choose Eurostar to discover Europe. 30 years on, the Eurostar success story continues.